So good to have you here this morning. So good to be in the house of God. The church is God's house, it's God's home, and it's God's for God's family, right? It's for God's name, for God's fame, and for God's glory. So what a great place to be on any given Sunday morning in the house of God. So we're just so glad that you're here this morning. I pray that God really bless you as we sit together, we fellowship, and we hear the word of God this morning. How many are open to hear the word this morning? Good. Yeah, everyone here. That's why you're here too as well. Worship, be together, be in God's house, and hear truth that we can apply that will change our life. So let's bow our heads right now. Thank you, Father, for gathering us here this morning. Thank you for the freedom and the privilege of being able to freely go and to believe in Jesus and celebrate Jesus. Pray that you take this word, Holy Spirit, and cause it to sink deep into our heart, to our understanding, that as we understand it and receive it, we believe it, and that you give us the grace to put it into practice so that, Father, it deeply changes our life and it just glorifies you. So bless the word as it's heard this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, we're into a brand new month. May, spring, it's here already, and my grass got like that long in like in 2 days. It's amazing, right? So, new growth, new time, new season. God wants to do something new and fresh. Amen? Amen? And the theme for this month, that word that we're talking about is pressing forward. It is a simple directive. Just keep pressing forward. And I think that's a word that God wants to speak to every single person here this morning. Keep pressing forward. And the theme scripture is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. And it is written by a man of God. His name was Paul, the Apostle Paul. If there's anyone that modeled what he spoke and what he preached, it was the Apostle Paul. If you study his history and his life, many say, wow, this guy really knew what he was talking about. And so in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul said, I press on to reach the end of the race. Which, what part of the race? End of the race. And receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Calling us. All of us are called to run this race of life. All of us are called to race. Not alone, but together. And there are pathways, there are principles that God has established us, called us as God's people to walk in and to run in. And Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16 says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the what kind of way? Where the good way is. Then walk in it. Then walk in it. Let's just start that again. Stand at the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Where the good way is, then walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Ancient paths. Ancient paths are the timeless, perpetual, eternal principles and pathways of God from way, 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 way back when he first, even before he created mankind, he had these principles. And they were pathways for people, God's people, to walk in and walk through for a blessed life, for a good life. Amen? These are timeless, eternal principles of God. These are ways. These are ways of thinking, the ways of speaking, the ways of behaving, and with the ways of relating to one another. Do you know that every single principle of God will come back to relationship? It's all about relationship. What's the cross about? Relationship. And if you look at the scripture, it says where the good way is. The good way. That word good is the Hebrew word tov. And tov means pleasant, agreeable, happy, well-off, prosperous, great, excellent, cheerful, merry, distinguished. These are characteristics. These are the results of walking in the ancient pathways in the principles of God for a good life, for a pleasant life, for an agreeable life, for a happy life, for a prosperous life, for a great life, for an excellent life, cheery life, merry life, distinguished life, for a great life. Amen? I want to tell you, we here at City Light, we want you to have a great life. We want you to have the best life you could possibly ever have on this earth. Amen? We want you to have a happy marriage. We want you to be so happy about it that you can't stop talking about it. We want you to have friends, great friends, friendships that literally will last a lifetime. We want happy kids. We want happy young men and women serving Jesus. Amen? And we want them to have parents and to have good relationships with their parents. See, we want, and I want, people who connect well to other people and who can connect others to Christ. Amen? What we don't want is fake, phony, simulated relationships. And we don't want drama-filled, strife-filled, complicated, broken relationships. Amen? We just don't want that. Listen, I say, you know, we have only one life to live. So let's get it right. Let's take the chance and let's just take the opportunity and let's get it right. And that's why I want to talk about this principle today. Today I want to talk to you about one of the most powerful, most important principles of life for a happy, prosperous, good life. And that's this principle of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:16. It was Paul, Apostle Paul, that said, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we see him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." Verse 18. "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. And so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Praise God. Right back, way back in the beginning, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, tells us that God created heaven and earth. He created everything seen, everything that's unseen that he's created. God created it. And he also created mankind. But he didn't create mankind just to inhabit the earth. He came to have a relationship with mankind. And Adam was the first representative of mankind, right? And so Adam had this relationship, this connection, this cord that was, this rope that connected him to God. But when Adam and Eve sinned, the cord was cut. The rope was cut. Amen? And when the rope was cut, man got separated from God. And man's life literally became a wreck. Without God, your life gets really messed up quick. Amen? And there was nothing man could do to get a better life for himself. Right? Man's life became a wreck. We had a wreck. Mankind had a wreck. But God in Christ, through Christ, reconcile man back to himself so that we could have a relationship with God, right? So that we could have a relationship with God. 1 Timothy 2 verse 15 says, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. Who is it? The man Jesus Christ. Only one. Only one could do it. Jesus is the only answer. Can I ask you this question? Are you thankful for Jesus this morning? Are you thankful for Jesus? Are you thankful for reconciliation? Thank God. Thank Jesus. You know, we were wrecked, but, and until God reconciled us back to himself. Amen. Through his son Christ. You know, wreck, what is a wreck? A wreck is a violent, disruptive crash. Ruined ashes, debris, residue, rubble, remains, wreckage. Bring that definition up. That's what a wreck is. Wreck is, right? It's ruin. And we see so many people today, so many people cut the cords. They cut the cords. And their lives end up flying into a world of hurt. And we see young people whose parents get separated, and then there's brokenness in their lives. We see friendships, there's an offense that happens between close friends, and suddenly there's a disconnection, right? We see business partners, and maybe finance gets in the way, and the partnership is broken. You know, we see this in marriages. Harsh words are spoken, and someone cuts the rope, cuts the cord through unfaithfulness. You know, we see close friends suddenly become the worst of enemies, and someone cuts the cord through disloyalty or dishonesty or distrust, and now there's distance, and now there's damage in this relationship. We see, and now there's sin and brokenness, and sin and brokenness is a result of a world of hurt, right? You know, and here's the thing, people keep medicating their sin and brokenness by more sin, don't they? And that's what happens in a world. See, there's only one answer. See, without love and acceptance, without reconciliation, no, we do the things that make us even more broken, don't we? And we just go from relationship to relationship to relationship because, well, I got to have somebody in my life. You know, and there are so many estranged relationships, no longer close, no longer involved, no longer connected. But the cross is the good news. The cross is the good news. Because of the cross is vertical. The cross makes a way for us to have a relationship with God. The cross is horizontal. It makes a way for us to have a relationship with other people. The cross is the answer. Without the cross, our lives would just be a wreck, but through the cross, God takes our wreck and he gives us reconciliation. Amen? That word reconcile is defined to restore friendship or harmony, to settle and to resolve. To restore friendship or harmony, to settle or resolve. Reconcile, reconcile. Micah chapter 4 verse 6 says, and he, God, shall turn and reconcile the hearts of the estranged fathers to the ungodly children, and the hearts of the rebellious children to the piety of their fathers. New Living Testament, that verse says, his preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. It's saying that God has the power to change people's hearts. Maybe you can't change their heart, but God has the power to change hearts. He's that powerful. But see, you have to be willing to have your heart changed. If you want your life to turn around, then you've got to change your heart. You've got to turn your heart. You've got to allow God to change your heart. Amen? And you've got to be the first to change. I see people saying, you know, you need to love that person. You need to have a heart for that person. I'm not going to do it until they start loving me the way they should, until their heart turns to me. And God says, no, you turn. You turn first. Turn first. It starts when you say, God, turn my heart. Change my heart. Amen? The heart turns first. There's another word that's close to reconcile or reconciliation. It's the word restoration. Restoration happens after reconciliation. Restoration is the act or the process of returning something to its original condition by repairing it and cleaning it. No, just like this old car. Just like this old car. It can be restored. It just takes a lot of time, but it can be done. Amen? You know, and God can restore your life. He can restore your heart. He can restore your relationships. Or it's like this old piece of furniture. See, it can be restored, right? And maybe your life is like this, half restored. Well, praise God. Just keep on going. Amen? Right? Or maybe your life is like this house. Maybe your house is being restored. Maybe your life is being restored. Maybe your life was built on some sand. But praise God, now you can put it on the rock. Amen? No, I want to say, whatever is happening in your life, whatever difficult thing you're going through relationally right now, I want to tell you, with God's help, it can change. With God's help, it can change. But here's the thing. You need to give it to God. Give it to God. And here's another thing. Give God some time. I want to tell you, when you give it to God, you may not see something happen immediately. Maybe you don't see the results that you want. You don't feel the changes that you want to see. You know, but give God some time. He's working. He's so awesome. He's so powerful. He can change hearts. He can change circumstances. But you need to give Him time because He knows exactly what He's doing. Timing is so important in this, isn't it? So many people just give up on life. Give up on relationships because they don't see something happening. But give it to God, give it time. And here's another thing. Start doing good. Start doing good instead of harm. Start doing good instead of harm. And before you know it, with the holy help of the Holy Spirit, your marriage will change. Your marriage can be restored. Your friendships can be restored. Your kids can be restored. Amen? And it'll be like you driving your restored car to the show and shine. And saying, look what the Lord has done. He's healed my body. He's touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Amen? You know, there are things that we could do in this process of restoration that are so important. We don't just say, God, just do it. But it takes some effort on our part. And I want to give you two things that you need to do to keep your relationships, to restore your relationships, to have great relationships. Two things. There's actually two things with three things added to it, okay? Okay, number one, and this is big. Take responsibility for your own actions. Amen? Take responsibility for your own actions. For your part, right? Instead of, no, it wasn't my fault, no, it wasn't me. Say, yes, it was me. You know, we heard that part. It always takes two to tangle, right? Yeah, it was me. Quit blame shifting. Don't just shift the blame. Take responsibility. Amen? You know, my grandkids, I was going to have a picture up there, but I didn't have a time to put that in. My grandkids, Mason and Layton. Mason is 5 years old, and Layton is three years old, right? And one day we were sitting at the kitchen counter and we're just chatting away and maybe, I think it was just after breakfast and I smelled this awful smell. I said, okay, who fluffed? Who farted? Who farted? And Mason said, wasn't me. And then Layton said, not me. And I said, well, I looked at him, I said, it must have been one of you. And Layton says, Papa, was you. Papa, was you? I said, no, it wasn't me. Well, you know, it turned out to be our dog, Lola. Only she couldn't say it was me. You know what I find? The older we get, the more we fart. Not true. The older they get, older we get, the more we fart. And the more we fart, the less we want to admit our mistakes. You're going to see the more we part, the more we stink. It means the same thing. Isn't that true? No. It's in our relationships too. As our older our relationships get along, the less we're willing to admit our mistakes. We get hard, right? Here's what Proverbs 14, verse 9 says. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek what? What do they seek? Come on, let's say it. Reconciliation. They seek reconciliation, right? Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly seek reconciliation. So here's the question. Are you godly? Are you godly? Godly people repent. Right? Godly people do good, not harm. Godly people don't hold grudges. Right? They give and forgive. Matthew chapter 5, 23. Jesus said, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Wow. Jesus said, listen, if you got anything against someone else, don't even come to me and pray. Don't even start offering your praises. Get it right. It's that important to God. Amen? That important to your God. Get it right. And get it right away. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. Listen, if you got problems with the relationship, get together, confess your sins, and pray for each other. So powerful. Right? God wants healing in your life. God wants healing in your relationships. You know, often, when your relationships are healed, sometimes that healing in your body comes that you've been praying for. You know, there's something about relationships that are so vital and important to general good health, right? Amen? So number one, take responsibility for your own actions. Okay? Number two, go and work and rebuild. Go to work and rebuild. You say, Pastor, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where to start. I'll tell you where to start. Go to God. Get down on your knees. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know where to begin. And God will begin to show you. Let me give you three things that you could do to go and start rebuilding, to restore your relationships, and to enhance your relationship. Number one, discover. Discover. When I say discover, go deeper in your relationship, right? Go discover. Find out your likes and your wants. You know, discovery can be fun, I say. You know, find out what your likes, what your wants are. Just go deeper. Find out what that person is really all about. You know, when you think about it, God has given every one of us two ears and one mouth. Why did he give us that? So we do way more listening than we would be talking, right? So when that person is talking to you, that you're in a relationship, you know, be interested in what they say, right? And be excited about what you're going to hear. Because you're going to discover all kinds of things that you never even knew about that person. And that'll really affect the intimacy and the closeness of your relationship, right? The more you really know about each other, the closer you can get. Amen? No, so do that. Spend some time discovering. And you've also given two eyes so that you can go head to head, face to face, look into each other's eyes and communicate, right? So I want to say, put that cell phone away. Put that phone away. Amen? Amen. Discover. Discover. You know, when Karen and I first got married, we shared this with you before. We had a very difficult time in our relationship. Karen's smiling now, and I can smile about it right now. But it wasn't much to smile about when we first got married. Those first few weeks, months, even a couple of years, at least that first year, was very, very difficult. You know, we had, we had, We had disagreements, we had fights, we had hardships, we had struggles, and we had a hard time kind of connecting and loving each other the way that we want. We're supposed to love each other. You know, and here's the thing. We came from different backgrounds. We came from different cultures. We were so different. We were opposite. We had different personalities. But I want to tell you, that's not what kept us apart. That's not what kept us from loving each other like we should. You know what kept us apart? Both of us had a lot of hurt and pain and rejection and shame in our life. And we had so much undealt with pain and rejection. And whenever we try to get to those pain, that pain and rejection would show up in the issues of our life and to keep us separated. Amen? So you know what we started to do? We started to discover each other. We started talking about it. We started talking about our past. The difficult times we had. The times when we were being raised up. Some of the most hurtful moments in our life. Some of the most times we felt the deepest wounds and the greatest rejection in our life. And as we began to share those and expose and confess those things, we began to understand why we were responding to each other in the way that we did. It was through the hurt and pain and rejection. And so we confessed it to God. We would just hold hands and we would just pray and say, God, please forgive us for just holding on to these things. We just give it over to you. And we ask God to heal us. And the Holy Spirit would come in and just begin to heal. And it was so healing, wasn't it? It's even like the Holy Spirit began to deal with the issues of my life. And we started to connect in a much greater way. And thank God for that. You see, we began to discover not just our likes and our wants, but we just began to discover who we were, really were. Way back in the formulation of who we were, the events in our past, and what a healing experience it was. It brought light into those dark situations, and it brought empathy and sympathy and understanding and love for you. When you see a little child that's beaten and just wounded and hurting and crying, we saw that in each other, and we would just want to go and minister. And through us, God ministered to each other's pain and hurt, and God began to heal us. You see, I see so many people in the world that just like that. Inside their little children, they're hurt and they're wounded. They come together as adults and they can't get together because they've been so hurt and wounded. And God needs to heal them. Amen? We need to open up your heart and just confess those things. Confess your sins one to the another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Amen? So powerful, so necessary. But you've got to go deeper and you've got to go there with God. Amen? So discover. Discover the likes and the wants and the good things. Discover the good, the bad, and even the ugly parts. And God could turn it around for good. Amen? Discover. Number two, devote. Be devoted. Devote your life to your friend, to your spouse. How do you do that? You give your time, you give your attention, and you give what? Gifts. My wife likes that one. Gifts. Gifts are good, right? Gifts are good. And once you find out what your friend likes, or once you find out what your wife likes, surprise her with those gifts and then just keep them coming. Amen? Keep them coming. God's preaching to me. Keep them coming, right? And they say that there's one book out there right now that has saved so many marriages. And it's written by Gary Smalley. And it's called, what's it called again? I forgot. The Five Love Languages. If you're in a relationship or you're thinking about getting into a relationship, go and get a copy of that book, The Five Love Languages. It'll help you greatly in your marriage. Amen? So number one, discover each other. Number two, be devoted to one another. And number three, determine. Determine. Don't give up. Amen? Don't give up. Wherever you are in your relationships right now, don't give up. Decide that you're going to make it. Decide that you're going to make it. Right? Start doing good. Not harm. Do good repeatedly. Right? And start making declarations over your marriage. We're not done. We're not done. I'm not done. And what? God's not done. Right? God's going to turn it around, this thing around for good. Amen? That's what He promises in His Word. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Amen? So take your wreck, take your wreck and make it into a reconciliation. Give it over to God, right? You know, just a few weeks ago, maybe about 3 weeks ago, I just remarried this couple who've been married like 20 years ago. We attended their marriage, they were friends of ours, and they wanted me to remarry them. So they were married about 20 years ago. I think they lived together about 8 to 10 years. And then their issues came up in their life, and some mistrust and things happened. And then they got separated, and they got divorced. And so they were divorced for like 10 years. But, you know, they realized that they needed each other, and they still loved each other. So they started to reconnect, but they started to reconcile and deal with the issues of life. So I married them again. You know, because, you know, like just a few weeks ago, I remarried, and they were so happy together. Amen? And I believe that's a God thing. See, nothing's impossible for God, right? Where they were better together. You know, I think I need to say this. You know, maybe you were in a relationship that didn't work out, right? Maybe you weren't, and your partner, you weren't able to put into practice the principles of God. Like this one, like the principle of reconciliation, the principles of forgiveness, or, you know, maybe you weren't able to do that. And maybe you blew it, and maybe it's over. But can I tell you, and can I just remind you that God is the God of the second chance? Amen? God is this God of the second chance. And He can give you something that's even way better than what you had before. Do you believe that? I believe that. Otherwise, I don't think He'd be God. Right? But you know, in this relation, if you're looking, if there's a new relationship that you're heading into or that you're in right now, make sure you put in these principles of God. Amen? Make sure you build. Make sure you keep that marriage going strong. Right? Doing good, not harm. Doing good, not harm. Amen? Amen. You know, we were in Springs Church last weekend, and my son just proposed to his wife-to-be. Yeah. He's not here. He's in Winnipeg right now. Yeah, so anyway, Eden's going to be here, and we'll introduce Eden Fontaine to you. So, and yeah, but, you know, we're sitting in in the service, and the young guy that was coming on speaking just before Pastor Leon came and spoke, he said these words. He said, you know what? He said, we as Christians, we need to laugh a lot more. Right? We need to laugh a lot more. And I said, that's so true. We need to laugh. You know, God laughs all the time. And we need to enjoy life. We need to laugh. And that's true. But he said, you know, it's not just that type of laugh. Laugh is a different laugh. It's L-A-F. L-A-F. The type of laugh that we need to laugh as well, more of, is L-A-F. We need to laugh. And it's an acronym. Every day we need to laugh. We need to love every day. Love every day. We need to accept each other and accept other people every day. And we need to forgive each other every day. Right? What would life be like if we laughed like that every single day? Wouldn't life be a lot better? Amen? Life would be way better. Let's laugh. Let's love each other. Love is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person, right? Let's love each other. We accept people like Christ accepts us. And let's forgive. Let's be so quick to forgive. You know, even if you're the first one, for years, it was always me forgiving all the time. Karen never forgave. You know that? No, it's the other way around. Sorry, I got it mixed up. She was always forgiving, and I never wanted to forgive. I was so resistant, you know? I was so hurt. This angry, young, immature, young, this guy with hurt and with a lot of pride. Listen, you know what keeps us from getting together and forgiving each other and reconciling? You know, a lot of us, it's hurt, yeah, it's rejection, but it's pride too. It's pride. Pride. God tells us in His Word in at least two places. In James 4:6, He says, God opposes the proud. He opposes, but He gives grace to the humble. To the humble. You know, you want grace, you want good things in your life, you want blessings, then you got to humble yourself. You know, even if you have to do it 100 times, and your partner refuses to be the first to forgive, and it takes you to do it first, and then he or she will do it, then you be the first one. But as you keep on doing it, God will keep working on that other person's heart. See, our hearts are in different places sometimes, aren't they? God knows what He's doing. God gives grace to the humble, but He opposes the proud. Right? Let's go right back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18 says, all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us, gave who? Yeah, He gave us, He gave me, gave you. This wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Jesus, right? We were wrecked. We were wrecked. Our lives were wrecked until He reconciled us back to God. Amen? And there are so many wrecked people out there. So many wrecked people who need reconciliation. Amen? You know the cross. When you think about the cross, the cross is the most powerful message on the earth. Right? Cross. It's the cross. If people need anything in their life, people unhappy, people going through difficulty, it's the cross. It's the cross. They need Jesus. The cross is the answer to every human dilemma. The cross. The most powerful message you'll ever hear on earth. And God has given us this message. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. So let's speak for Jesus. Amen? Let's speak for Jesus. And let's reach just one more for Jesus. Just one more for Jesus. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Are you thankful for Jesus? Are you thankful for reconciliation? All right, let's praise Him right now. We thank Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Where would we be? Our lives would be a wreck without You, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads. 1 Timothy says, for there is only one God. One mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man is Jesus Christ. Right? When we were wrecking our lives, God was loving us and He was giving Himself. Friendship with God is restored through Jesus Christ. God wants to be your friend. Imagine having a friendship with the King of Kings as a personal friend. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the friend of sinners. You know, every single week we give this call. You know, and I make this call and invite people who haven't received Christ into their heart for the very first time. I make this call. I make this call. There are ministers, preachers, teachers of Christ just continually giving this call. Every week people receive Christ into their life. Every week people do that. So every week people say yes to Jesus. The question is, how about you? Have you said yes to Jesus? This is the greatest decision you will ever make in your life, is inviting Christ to be your Lord and Savior, taking away the guilt of your sin, giving you eternal life. Right? Today you can make this decision if you've never made it. You can invite in Christ into your heart. Like I said, this will be the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Right? So if that's you, I just invite you, and I'll invite all of us just to bow our heads right now and to repeat this prayer to Jesus Christ that will change your life forever, for eternity. Can we all say this together? Are you ready? Let's say this all together. Let's say this to Jesus. Jesus, I believe that You died. and you shed your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I ask, amen, amen. Listen, if you said that prayer for the very first time, can you just raise your hand up and just wave it at me and so I could see? You said that prayer for the very first time. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. What a great decision that you've made. Anyone else, raise your hand. You received Christ into my heart. I invited Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We have ushers will come and just give you a package here. You know, that's receiving Christ is just the first step. God is a journey for you. So make a decision. You're going to serve Jesus, be a part of God's house, get connected. You know, really be a part of what God wants to do in your life. It's doing it together. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the souls that are being won today and being brought into an eternal destiny in heaven. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. And we're going